Patristic Nectar Publications is pleased to present A Word from the Holy Fathers by His Grace, Bishop Irenae of London and Western Europe. These short meditations reveal the ancient wisdom of the Church Fathers and apply it to 21st century Christian living. And now, His Grace, Bishop Irenae.
In this third and final broadcast in which we focus on this important text, I would like to look at a few of the closing remarks made by this great father with respect to this passage. Towards the end of what was quite a lengthy homily, in fact, St. Basil says the following: "If you are attentive to yourself, you will discover these things about yourself and still more, and you will enjoy the things present and will not be downcast about what you lack. This precept will be a great help if you are mindful of it on all occasions. For instance, has anger gained mastery over your thoughts, and have you been carried away by temper towards inappropriate words and savage, beast-like actions? If you were attentive to yourself, you would curb your temper like some disobedient and refractory colt, striking it with a blow of reason, as if by a lash. You would also control your tongue, and you would not lay hands on the one provoking you. Again, evil desires madden the soul, casting you into incontinent and licentious impulses. If you were attentive to yourself, and remembered that for you this present enjoyment will result in bitterness in the end, and this tickling, which through pleasure has now come about in your body, will in the end bring forth the venomous worm, punishing us for ever in hell, and the burning of the flesh will become mother of eternal fire. Immediately the pleasure would be gone and banished. A certain wondrous interior calm and a quiet in the soul will also come into being, as when the noise of undisciplined servant girls becomes silent through the entrance of a discreet lady. Therefore, be attentive to yourself, and know that the rational part of the soul is also intelligent, but that the passionate part is irrational. The one who exists by nature to rule, while the other exists to obey reason and to be persuaded by it. So do not ever allow your mind, reduced to utter slavery, to become a slave of the passions. Moreover, do not yield to the passions struggling against reason, and let them transfer to themselves the rule of the soul." Here St. Basil has gone further than in the passages we have read in our previous broadcasts. In those passages he identified attentiveness to the soul as the necessary preventative medicine for that aspect of our humanity in which it is so easy to sin, the mind and the heart. And then we saw how St. Basil used this to chase out the differing dimensions of our created being, body, soul, and mind. Here, St. Basil has gone on to say that by a right exercise of attentiveness to our heart, to our mind, to ourselves, by this right exercise of attentiveness, we will find solace in life. In technical terms, we will find through this attentiveness the tools by which to defeat the passions. Some passions, or rather some of the tools used to combat the passions, are of the practical, arrow-like sort. There is a passion, and then there is a tool used to defeat it specifically. So, if we are, for example, undergoing a specific passionate experience, one tool might be the practice of many prostrations, or of fasting, or of saying a specific prayer, or undergoing some other action prescribed by a spiritual father. These are tools which respond to the provocation of the passions and attack them like an arrow shot out of a sling to defeat the raging enemy. But there is another kind of tool used to prevent the passions from arising in the first place, and it is of this type of tool that St. Basil has here spoken. Attentiveness to the true nature of ourselves keeps us alert to the reality which the passions are provoking. If we are inattentive to ourselves, when the passions provoke us towards lust, towards some ignoble desire or beast-like action, as St. Basil calls it, if we are inattentive to ourselves, it is all too easy to succumb to such impulses. But if we are constantly exercising this interior attentiveness, we will see the provocation for what it really is. We will see the actual end of this temporal desire, something which may tickle the flesh or the mind now, as he puts it, but which in the end leads us only to disaster, only to despair. An attentiveness to ourself, an attentiveness to our minds and hearts, keeps us aware so that the passions are not given entry into our heart, into our mind, into our body. This is the preventative medicine of the ascetical life. Be attentive to yourself and give the passions no room, no entry. This is St. Basil's extrapolation of Christ's command, go and sin no more. How are we to know whether we are about to sin or not, unless we foster in ourselves that which Moses commanded, attentiveness to our innermost being? St. Basil goes on to offer another great insight about what is brought about through such attentiveness. Reading from a little later in the seventh section of his homily, "The exact comprehension of yourself," he says, "also provides sufficient guidance towards the concept of God. For if you are attentive to yourself, you will not need to trace your understanding of the fashioner from the structure of the universe, but in yourself, as if in a kind of small ordered world, you will see the great wisdom of the Creator. Understand that God is incorporeal, from the incorporeal soul that exists in you, which is not circumscribed by place. Since neither as a matter of principle does your mind spend its life in a place, but through its conjunction with the body it comes to be in a place. You will believe God to be invisible in understanding your own soul, since it also is ungraspable with bodily eyes, for it is colourless, without shape, it has not been encompassed by any bodily characteristic, but it is recognized only from its energies. Nor should you investigate God by understanding through the eyes, but supporting faith by reason, have spiritual understanding of him. Marvel at the Creator's work, how the power of your own soul has been bound together with the body, so that penetrating to its extremities, it leads the many separate limbs and organs to one convergence and sharing of life. Examine what power from the soul is given to the flesh, what sympathy is given back to the soul by the flesh, how the body receives life from the soul, and the soul receives pain from the body." St. Basil carries on with further descriptions throughout this passage. But is this not a remarkable testimony to the Creator's great design? If we are truly attentive to ourselves, St. Basil says, then we find not only an awareness of who we are, but through ourselves, through this creation that God has fashioned, we learn about God himself. It takes no great science to understand and to know God. We do not have, says St. Basil, to work our way up to divine knowledge by analyzing this and that aspect of creation, and so coming to a greater understanding. We are, as he says, a little world in ourselves, a microcosm, to use the term we most often associate with St. Maximus the Confessor, and in this little creation, this little world of our own being, we discover the testimony of God's life. We see God who is incorporeal as we have a corporeal soul. We see him who is infinite and limitless in the own infinite, limitless nature of the human soul. We see a God who is incarnate by the very symphony and harmony of our soul and body. So attentiveness to ourselves is not simply a way out of the passions, is not simply a way out of sin. It is also a way into a true contemplation with our Creator and our Maker. So be attentive to yourselves. A little later in the final section of the text, St. Basil has this to say. If you like, brethren, after your contemplation of the soul, be attentive also to the structure of your body. Marvel at how appropriate a dwelling for the rational soul the sovereign fashioner has created it to be. He has made the human being alone of all animals upright, that from your very form you may see that your life is akin on high. For all the quadrupeds are bent down toward their stomachs, while the human being is prepared to look up towards heaven, so as not to be devoted to the stomach or to the passions below it, but to direct his whole desire to the journey on high. And God has placed his head at the top, locating it in the most valuable of the senses. There sight and hearing and taste and smell have been established, all near to one another, and although confined in the small space, none of them impedes the activity of its neighbour. The eyes have not laid hold of the highest lookout point so that nothing blocks their view of the body's parts, but placed under the small projection of the brow, they reach out from the prominence above in a direct line. Again, hearing is not directed straight, but by a spiral-shaped pathway it takes hold of the noises in the air. This indeed exhibits the highest wisdom, enabling sound to pass through unhindered, or rather to be led in, bending around the twists, while nothing from outside that accidentally falls can be a hindrance to the auditory perception. Examine closely, too, the nature of the tongue, how it is tender and nimble, and is sufficient by its varied movement for every need of speech. Teeth, which are also organs of speech, provide strong resistance to the tongue, and at the same time also take care of food, some cutting it, others grinding it. And so when you have traversed all things with suitable reflection on each, when you have observed carefully how air is drawn down through the breath, how warmth is kept around the heart, and the organs of digestion, and the channels of blood, from all these you will perceive the unsearchable wisdom of the Creator. So you will also say to him with the prophet, "Thy knowledge from myself has become wonderful."
We hope you have enjoyed listening to A Word from the Holy Fathers by His Grace Bishop Irenae of London and Western Europe, offered to you by Patristic Nectar Publications, nourishing the spiritually thirsty with the sweet teachings of the Holy Fathers.